This morning I will be reading scripture from the book of Jonah and the book of Colossians. Our first reading is Jonah chapter 2 verses 1 through 10 and can be found on page 916 in your pew Bible. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Our second scripture reading is Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, and can be found on page 1167 in your pew Bible. "Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This is God's holy word.
This week is the first time I've had the experience of dealing with Jonah since Vacation Bible School last June. Always the blessing of being able to teach Bible at VBS, and when we came to the story of Jonah, I had to create a big whale, a big fish out of black plastic and a fan so that the kids could crawl inside the fish. And the curriculum suggested that you put a couple of open cans of tuna fish in front of the fan. And they didn't tell me how early I had to do that, so I just kind of put it in there maybe 2 hours ahead of time. And believe it or not, there were adults that would not enter the room. And the plastic was big enough that all the kids could sit in there at one time, and yet they didn't want to stay in there very long because of that smell of tuna fish. Well, David Stuckey said, "I should have done that, because it wouldn't have compared to anything like a true whale's breath." David and Chrissy were on a whale tour up in Maine, and they were that close. And I guess a whale's breath is much more overpowering than a couple of cans of tuna. So when you hear Jonah, what's the first thing that comes to mind? The whale. The whale. Being inside what I describe as the smelly belly of the whale, knowing that Scripture says it's just a big fish. But as a whale is the biggest, I think, of fish, it kind of works that way. So thinking about Jonah and thinking about the whale is often only associated with a Sunday school lesson for children. But let's see what we can learn from Jonah about prayer this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this time to turn to your word. I pray that the words that you offer through me would be a blessing in your kingdom to all who hear to glorify you. In Christ we pray, amen. So in Jonah chapter 1, in the opening verses, it reads, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. The Lord had a very specific job for Jonah. But clearly, Jonah did not want the job. Instead of doing what the Lord asked him to do, Jonah runs away, headed to the city of Tarshish. Tarshish is approximately 3,000 miles away from the city of Nineveh. And thinking about the lack of travel options back then, going 3,000 miles away from where God wants you to be, Jonah was trying to get as far away from Nineveh as he could. And I imagine he was also trying to get as far away from God as he could. 3,000 miles away. Asked to go and preach, Jonah flees. He runs. He wanted to get far, far away. Jonah forgot the teaching that comes from Psalm 139. When the psalmist asked to the Lord, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And then the psalmist provides the answers to his own questions. "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Forgetting the power and the authority of the Lord, Jonah chose to run away from the Lord. That was his first response, to run away, to get as far away from Nineveh and far away from God as he thought he possibly could. Have you had that time, a Jonah time in your life, when God has asked you to do something and you thought, "No way can I do this," and you run? In his quest to flee from the challenge the Lord was asking of him, Jonah boarded a ship that was bound to the city of Tarshish. But the Lord wasn't done with Jonah. As the creator of the universe, there's nowhere we can go. And the Lord still had this challenge for Jonah. But Jonah got on the ship, and the Lord sent a great wind upon the sea, and a violent storm came up and threatened all of the sailors on that ship. And you can read the rest of the full story in the prophet's name of Jonah, in the book of Jonah. But that storm, ultimately, the sailors found out the storm was there because of Jonah. And he told them to throw him overboard, but they didn't want to do that. But in the end, they threw him overboard. And as soon as they threw him overboard, the raging sea became calm. And if you know the story of Jonah, you know the Lord sent a big fish to swallow Jonah, thus saving him from drowning, because the Lord was not done with Jonah. And it was while Jonah was in the belly of the whale that he had the second option, his second response. And that was to pray. That was to send a message to God. Prayer. Though it's where Jonah should have started, instead of running away, Jonah's turning to prayer is an important lesson for us all. Jonah prayed when he was in great distress, in the belly of that great fish, in great peril, fearful for his own life. That's when Jonah turned to the Lord and prayed. It is very revealing that Jonah recognized that his distress was at the hand of the Lord. If you go back and read those verses again, you will see that Jonah knows the Lord was the one that brought the storm upon the ship. Jonah knows it was the Lord that sent the big fish to swallow him up and save him. I wonder if Jonah came to the point where he regretted his running away from the Lord. Maybe if he had prayed to the Lord before running, maybe hearing the challenge of what God wanted him to do, if he had spent that time in prayer, he could have avoided all the trouble he caused those sailors on that ship. Let alone, he could have avoided those 3 days in the smelly belly of the great fish. The prophet Jonah sets the stage for our focus on prayer this morning. A focus setting the stage for an exploration of living life as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discipleship. Our understanding of the Lord, our worship of the Lord, our service of the Lord, our proclaiming of the Lord, it's all to begin with prayer. Prayer, conversations with God. We can ask questions. We can share our thoughts. We can confess our sin. We can seek wisdom. We can listen for direction as we wait patiently for the Lord to speak to us. In our reading from Colossians 4, the Apostle Paul, the author of this letter, he offers a look at a disciple's inner life of prayer that is to move that disciple to an outer life of witness. I read that as Paul opened his letter to the Colossians by sharing how he prayed for them, that's in chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, his letter supported their life and their ministry, which would continue to prosper through continued vigilance in prayer. So Paul, in his letter, offers words of encouragement, knowing that we all need to be encouraged at times and to be encouraged through prayer, the prayers for others, the wonder and the power of prayer, seeking guidance and wisdom, fervent, heartfelt prayer, humbly offered, leads to the peace of mind. Yes, I pray down when I'm going down on a drive down the road, and I don't know that that's fervent prayer. Most of the time, I'm thinking about praying for people or the things that I'm seeing. I'm giving God praise for the wonder of wildlife as long as they stay off the road. But fervent, heartfelt prayer comes in those times when I sit silently by myself, oftentimes in the dark, with no timer set, not looking at any clock. The wonder and the power of prayer can overwhelm us in the wonder of God. So words of encouragement, to be devoted to prayer, praying earnestly and praying continually with persistence and fervor, not giving up. You're praying for direction. And in 2 minutes' time, God has not given you that direction yet. Well, you have to be a little bit more persistent. Maybe it's an hour, maybe it's days, maybe it's months or years, but persistent in prayer, fervor. Prayer needs to be more than a habit, more than a life skill that we learn. Prayer is to be a desire, pattern of life in our hearts. Words of encouragement to be devoted to prayer, to be watchful and thankful. Watchful, watchful, to watch for opportunities where we can pray, to watch for opportunities where we can pray for and with others. You know, I often go to people at the hospital or care centers or other places, and I close with prayer. In the most recent hospital visit was kind of different. I was there seeing my son as a new father, and we were visiting. Both sets of grandparents were there, and I said, Eric, you better offer a prayer. And we prayed because it was an opportunity to pray for others. Watchful. It means to be vigilant, staying alert, and staying awake. So your senses are always working wherever you might be, watching for ways that you can pray for and with others. And here's an opportunity now. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Do not count those 30 seconds in your head, because I'm not. But I'm going to give you 30 seconds roughly. I want you to search your memory, either just for this morning, maybe it was yesterday. But think of something where you saw God at work. Think of someone that you think could use a prayer, an encouraging word. And I want you to spend 30 seconds praying for what you just thought of. Let's pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Watchful and thankful. I shared last Sunday that I was going to go visit a mentor in my life, probably the main mentor that I recognize. His name is Jim, and I drove over to Worcester one afternoon and evening, and we spent about 2.5 hours together. And it was the first time in a while that it's just been him and I. And I went there with a purpose, and I wanted to acknowledge him as my mentor in faith. I've talked about how he taught me how to use tools and everything I do at home or wherever. It all goes back to what that man taught me over my years at camp. And I wanted to leave with him an impression of how much he touched my heart of faith. Because he and his wife secretly sent me on a bunch of different excursions in my years of camp. Secretly, I found out that they funded my way and those kind of things. And they challenged me by sending me on opportunities. And Jim can be a difficult person to interact with at times, but I found out that if you are always honest with him, he is going to treat you with respect. And I found that out, not that I ever lied to him, but I had coworkers that would not fess up to something they had broken or done wrong, and they would just leave it lay. And I found, do not cross him by falsehood. And he taught me to respect the truth. And in that conversation, I had that time, I took that opportunity to thank God for the presence of Jim throughout my life. And so a 30-second prayer here, hopefully it gives you an example of find people that you can be thankful for and share that with them and pray with them, and you will be a blessing. So words of encouragement, be devoted to prayer, be watchful and thankful. Pray for others who are working to proclaim the mystery of Christ. The Visitor just came out once again, and we've updated the list of missionaries, both on campus and other ways, that we support. They're there so that you can pray for them, because they are in the missionary service of proclaiming the mystery of Christ to people. And as we pray for missionaries, as we pray for ourselves in those opportunities, we pray for open doors. We pray for avenues where you can have a conversation. And I'm not saying your first 10-minute conversation with someone has to be, do you know Jesus Christ? Or this is the answer to life. I'm kind of more laid back and I want to get to know someone, and then we can start talking about Christ. Maybe that's a third conversation down the road, but to be praying for open doors, for opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So words of encouragement, be devoted to prayer, be watchful and thankful, pray for others who are working to proclaim the mystery of Christ, and be wise in your actions toward outsiders. Outsiders. It's not necessarily a term that people like to hear in today's world, but in the commentaries I looked up after one, outsiders in this reference means non-Christians. People who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have not claimed Him as their Lord and Savior, including people who have never heard anything about Jesus. We are praying for wisdom and actions to interact with others. We pray for the words to offer. We pray for awareness of being quiet and still. Sometimes evangelism is equated and discipleship is equated with we have to be forceful with our words. Being quiet and letting the other person ask questions and talk can be a great springboard for further conversations. Praying for wise answers to questions that are asked, and praying for discernment of when and what to say. So words of encouragement, to be devoted in prayer, be watchful and thankful, pray for others, be wise in your actions toward outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity to witness. Discipleship is about growing the kingdom of God, of blessing people with salvation, that they can be free from the guilt and shame of whatever sin they might have within them, that as they confess that to the Lord, they can experience peace and wholeness in holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray to be full of grace, seasoned with salt, Paul says, knowing how to answer. Seasoned with salt, making our words and our language not dull, but it's interesting and well chosen. So our conversations are different when we're talking about the faith. It's not just talking about whether it's snowing outside or when the next rain is coming or what we're going to buy at the store, but our language seasoned with salt is about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, whatever faith that might be. Because a four-year-old can have a conversation about faith as much as someone that's 101 years of age and anywhere in between. It all begins with prayer. We're singing a different song than we sang at the end of the 8 o'clock service. What song number was that? The closing song at 8 o'clock. I forgot to look it up. What was that? Yeah, page 8 in your bulletin? Sorry, not the Bennett. Page 8 in your bulletin. Hey, you got the words in front of you. If you look at that, have you prayed before you left your room this morning? Buffy's picked some good songs to go with prayer today. It all begins with prayer to the glory of God and peace to his people. Amen.
Gracious God, you are the giver and provider of all things we have in life. Let us humbly give back to you this morning. I invite our ushers forward to collect this morning's offerings. Please bow your heads in prayer. Lord, we lift these gifts up to you and you alone. You know their purpose, and we pray that you bless them with the ability to be used to bring healing, restoration, and glory, all in your loving name. Amen.
We have a lot to think about in the coming week here. Our closing song is Holy, 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 We Bow Before Thee. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing the chorus, which is a little different to the traditional hymn that we know, called We Bow Down Before Thee. So join us in the traditional Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, holy, holy.
1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen.